Hometown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
We are back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. As we take a little break from the Kings, we'll give the Kings a breather because we have been on them.
Yeah.
We have been on them, and for good reason. When you drop two games like that the way they did, which honestly, I've never really seen anything like that. I don't know if I have either. From a team that was what they were. Well, we'll get to the power rankings. They were number seven last week.
Yeah, top 10.
And spoiler alert, they are not number seven this week for ESPN's NBA power rankings. And it also was before this game last night. So we will get into that in a little bit. For now, it's time for a little bit of Niners talk as we're joined by our friend of the show, Chris Biederman of the Candlestick Chronicles. Chris, how are you doing? I know you follow some of the King stuff too, so we're going to give everybody a break as we talk some Niners here.
Yeah, that's fine with me. I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're good. Getting into the Niners, and I know everybody got a look at Chase Young, and there were jokes about him not having number 99 as he's in his number 92 this season. Do you think there's even more pressure on the Niners this season with the addition of Chase Young? I already thought it was Super Bowl or bust, but you add this guy. I mean, do you think that the team is starting to feel it as well?
Yeah, I think a little bit. I don't know if they're feeling external pressure, but they came into the season putting a lot of pressure on themselves because they realize, and I think I've told you guys this a few different times, that they realize coming into the year that this group, given the expenses, they might not be around for a whole lot longer when it comes to like some of the core guys being together, right? You can go through the cap situation for this team over the next 2 or 3 years, and I would say even next year there's a possibility that they're looking at maybe shedding a couple guys or two who have some of these high-priced contracts. So this is a group that has the understanding that, you know, this is probably the most talented team that Kyle Shanahan's had since he's been coach as 2017. And then, you know, you add Christian McCaffrey last year, it sort of felt like a Deion Sanders-type addition to the offense, right, thinking back to 1994. And then now you add Chase Young to what's arguably one of the most talented defensive lines, albeit the production hasn't been there recently. But, I would say it is Super Bowl or bust for this team because there doesn't really feel like there's that one elite juggernaut team out there that is simply unbeatable, right? And right. I think when you look at the league, the Niners, when they play their best ball, they can make an argument that they're as talented or as good as anybody in the league and can beat anybody in the league. So, yeah, I would say their expectation has to be Super Bowl or bust, particularly given how well they played in the first 5 weeks of the season.
Chris, just in general, what do you feel like the Niners need to be better at the second half of this season?
I think it's the back end of the defense. I think it just doesn't seem as tightened up as we're used to seeing from the secondary, the linebackers, the safeties. It just seems like, you know, and they've talked about this pretty openly, that they've just felt a little disjointed when it comes to tying the coverage to the pass rush together, right? Like they typically do a really good job of taking away a quarterback's first read and then forcing the quarterback to double pump or go through his progressions. And then you marry that idea with just an elite pass rush. And the 49ers are really hard to score on. Well, lately, and it goes all the way back to week 2 against the Rams, it's just, you know, Matt Stafford getting to the top of his drop, getting the ball out. Joe Burrow hitting the top of his drop, getting the ball out. Kirk Cousins getting the ball out. And they're going to face a similar challenge this week in Jacksonville, because Trevor Lawrence has been one of the best QBs in the league at getting the ball out quickly. And that's behind an offensive line in Jacksonville that's frankly not very good, right? So the 49ers on paper should have a huge advantage when it comes to the trenches on defense. But frankly, teams have been taking advantage of the 49ers secondary. And I don't know if it's a schematic thing or if it's just a communication thing or what's happening. But, you know, you have a first-year coordinator in Steve Wilks, and obviously – there have been some growing pains and he's made some questionable decisions in terms of play calls. But it just seems like they haven't married the coverage to the pass rush in a way that we've been so accustomed to seeing under DeMeco Ryans and Robert Saleh before him.
Talking to Chris Biederman of the Candlestick Chronicles, you know, and there are a lot of sound bites that came out from yesterday with Chase Young speaking to the media as a Niner for the first time. And, you know, both him and Nick Bosa went to the Ohio State, and they're joking about it's going to be a race to the quarterback. Do you think it's just going to be that simple? I mean, we thought that at the beginning of the season, the defensive line was not going to be an issue. You add Chase Young, who is another top DN, getting to the quarterback. Is it going to be that simple that you add Chase Young, and it's just going to be these memes that we see of quarterbacks being scared for their life? Is it that simple, or does Steve Wilks still have some fixing to do with whatever has been wrong on that defensive line?
I think it is that simple, and here's the thing, right? You can even go back to the earliest days of Kyle Shanahan running the Niners offense in 2017, 2018, 2019. One of his skills as an offensive designer and play caller has been the fact that he's able to get the ball out of his quarterback's hands pretty quickly, right? Like all those games against Aaron Donald, in the regular season at least, you know, the 49ers have mostly negated Aaron Donald or played him as well as anybody because they're not doing, you know, seven-step drops and they're staying ahead of the chains on third down and not having to do these long passing plays on third down because Kyle Shanahan's really good at getting the ball out of the quarterback's hands through schematics, right? Well, which offensive system has made its way throughout the league through various coaches and different arms of Shanahan's coaching tree, right? It's the same offense. Mm-hmm. So now throughout the league, you have offenses that are better equipped to get the ball out of their quarterback's hands quickly because that's what's been successful. And it's really been started by Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay and everybody else who's come out of that coaching tree. Mike McDaniel, obviously, also. So you have a league now, it's obviously a copycat league, and you have a league that's running a lot of Kyle Shanahan's offenses, and you go back and think about what Shanahan's offenses have been good at, and it's not really a surprise that you find that more offenses throughout the league are good at negating pass rush. So it does come down to the 49ers just being better in coverage, and whether that's communicating better, whether that's dialing up better coverages and playing more to their strengths with more zone defense and less predictable man-to-man looks when they do blitz. I think that's something that has to be considered too. So, no, I don't think it's going to be as simple as just adding Chase Young and saying, okay, go get the quarterback, because as we've seen during this three-game losing streak, quarterbacks haven't had a problem getting to the top of their drop 2-3 steps and getting the ball out in 2 seconds before the pass rush can even get there. So they have to force the quarterback to hold on to the ball a little bit longer, and that starts with coverage. And once they do that, then I think we start seeing a defense that resembles what we're used to seeing from this 49ers unit.
Chris, I saw Akash Anavarathan tweet out that the Niners haven't played, since week 5, every defense the Niners have played has been top 11 in DVOA. Do you think that that's a reason why, a justifiable reason why this Niners offense has kind of struggled as of late? And you know, do you think that that's a good enough excuse or a reason why?
No, I don't. I think that the biggest issue for them is, you know, they're typically really, you know, when the 49ers offense is playing well, it's one of the best offenses in the NFL on first and second down, right? And that a lot of that stems from being able to run the ball effectively. And they just haven't been able to run the ball effectively. And I think that's one criticism you can probably make of Kyle Shanahan's offense since he's been with the 49ers is that, you know, they don't really have a secondary move to go to when the run game isn't setting everything up, right? Like when the 49ers offense is in rhythm, they can do a run play and throw the same look at you and then go play action bootleg the other direction and have George Kittle, you know, 20 yards open downfield, right? Like this is not something where, you know, we haven't seen Kyle Shanahan really orchestrate a really good offense when they haven't been able to run the ball. And obviously a lot of that stems from not having Trent Williams, right? Arguably one of the best, if not the best run blocking offensive lineman in the NFL. And so, you know, you can look at the rushing numbers. They're averaging, what, like 3.5 yards a carry over the last 3 weeks during their losing streak, where they're well over, I think, 5.5 during the first 5 weeks of the season, right? Like, that's really substantial. And when they're able to run the ball, it sets up everything they do in the passing game. But when the 49ers are facing five down fronts and they don't have Trent Williams, they're just really struggling to run the ball at nearly the same level. And it's impacting everything else they do. So, yeah, they have played good defenses, but they should be better than this. They have too many weapons. They've obviously been missing Deebo Samuel as well. So if they can get Trent Williams back, Deebo Samuel back, and start to run the ball like they did during the first 5 weeks of the season, I think that's going to be a far better recipe for them. But I'm still curious if they get to a situation where, you know, in the playoffs, say, and they can't run the ball against a playoff team, then, you know, are they going to be able to win with just the pass? And so far, we haven't seen them do that.
Chris Biederman, Candlestick Chronicles. Chris, before we get you out of here real quick, a lot of conversation every week. Brock Purdy is getting compared to a different quarterback. Is Josh Allen one week? Is Trevor Lawrence the next week? What do you think about the comparisons with Brock and some of these up-and-coming slash elite QBs? And who are you taking? I'm putting you on the spot. Trevor Lawrence or Brock Purdy?
I mean, it's hard not to take Trevor Lawrence, right? But, you know, I think you can objectively say Brock Purdy's been one of the best 12 quarterbacks in the league this year. And, you know, we're like a month removed from calling Brock Purdy an MVP candidate after that game against the Giants. And truthfully, I think he was playing to that level. But, you know, obviously when you start to throw some interceptions and, you know, it comes back to earth. It can come back to earth really quickly. And, you know, I've said this to you guys before, too, like, they were never going to go undefeated and win every game with Brock Purdy as a starter. It was just going to be, you know, over a prolonged period of time, can he be a winning quarterback and get you where you need to go? And so far, I would say under the right circumstances, he absolutely proves that he can get you to where you need to go and you can play at a high enough level. But when the circumstances aren't great, when you're missing your left tackle, when you're missing one of your star receivers, then can your quarterback be the rising tide that lifts all boats? And we've seen flashes of it. The 49ers can certainly move the ball when Brock Purdy's back there, and they did it against Cincinnati. But can you limit the mistakes, right? And that's not what Purdy's been able to do during this three-game losing streak is limit the mistakes. And maybe even, you know, I don't know how much we include the Cleveland game in that discussion. But, you know, certainly the last two games against Minnesota and Cincinnati, it hasn't been a problem when it comes to just moving the ball. It's, you know, not turning it over in the red zone. And those are just backbreaking mistakes that Brock Purdy didn't make during his first year as starter last year and during the first five games this year. So, you know, when it comes to quarterbacks and how we view them in terms of them being elite or not, I think you have to look at it like, you know, over multiple years with different rosters, can your team still be a contender as the circumstances around the quarterbacks change? And I think with Brock Purdy, we've seen him excel when circumstances are ideal, and we haven't seen him necessarily excel when those circumstances differ. And that, to me, is what separates the truly elite quarterbacks from the quote-unquote system game manager guys. So I think that's sort of the next step we need to see from Brock Purdy, to where we start elevating the conversation from, is he a top 10, top 12 guy, to, like, is this guy like a top 6 quarterback and MVP candidate? And he certainly looked like that during the first 5 weeks of the season, but he's obviously taken a step back in the three-game losing streak.
Well said, Chris Biederman. Listen to him on the Candlestick Chronicles. Chris, thank you as always. We will see what the Niners do against the Jags this weekend, and we will talk to you next week. Thank you again, my friend.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
Got to get to a break. When we get back, more Kings and Niners talk. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Thank you again to Chris Biederman of the Candlestick Chronicles. Check out that podcast. It's pretty darn good. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Just had to give everybody a little breather.
Yeah.
Let the Kings, you know, let things marinate a little bit to see if your feelings have changed. We've had some outstanding calls, by the way, from you, the listeners. So thank you very much. Keep it going as we break down all things Kings. And we'll get back into the Niners in a little bit. We wanted to get to this Mike Brown audio where he talks about how basically he still believes in the Kings. And we want to know, do you believe? The 916 on the text line. The Kings obviously had no aggression last night and just looked defeated early. But I would have liked to see Fox be a leader from the bench, get in and off the court. That's interesting. I mean, I'm not putting that on De'Aaron Fox. Are you?
No.
Blame pie?
No.
We only got to 40% of the blame pie. So we have to finish the blame pie. So sounds like 916. Are we giving De'Aaron, can we give him 5%?
So. It doesn't feel fair.
You don't
want
to give him 5%?
No, he's hurt.
Does De'Aaron Fox,
we cannot give
Is De'Aaron Fox get any of the blame pie?
No.
I'll give him 5%.
For being hurt?
No, I'll give him 5% for...
For what?
Yeah, I will give him 5%.
For just being hurt. For
We're
just
at 45%.
Okay.
I'm sorry, De'Aaron.
I completely disagree, but that's fine.
No,
that's
well,
fine. It's a nap.
He doesn't
I
have
mean,
to be in your pie.
Okay.
He's in my pie now. Thank you, 916. Let's hear from Mike Brown and how he still believes in this team.
As crazy as it sounds, the neat part about it is we've hit some adversity. And if we expect to be who we expect to be, who I truly 100% still believe in, then we're going to find our way out of this. I don't know how long it's going to take, but this is great for us to try to experience and come back from the right way, collectively and with our shoulders and chests held high.
How much of that do you think Mike Brown actually believes?
Are we doing that pie? Is that a different pie?
It might be a different pie. I'd say like maybe 65% of it. Like, because sure, like I can do media spin where I'm like, this is actually a positive because you're going to face adversity at some point in the season and much rather have it be earlier and find yourself, you could really rail your team. You could really let them have it.
But then
I think it's clear that already
fans
hasn't
in media,
worked.
But you air out your dirty laundry. I don't know. A lot of people go back and forth with whether that's good or not. I don't know if that's good. I think you have to know who your team is, right? And when you played sports growing up, I think as a coach, you have to understand your players.
You have to have a finger on the pulse, right?
Very similar to that clip from Mike Brown a couple weeks ago. Well, first of all, he let Keegan have it.
Yep.
And a couple weeks ago when he let Malik Monk have it, say, I'm going to lose my job if you keep playing like this. Right. I think Malik is a guy, fiery meets fiery, right? And I think Mike Brown, the same way he coaches Malik is not the same way he would coach De'Aaron or whoever else.
No, it's starting to look like he's treating everyone equal. Because last year, I would say he treated probably like Keegan with kid gloves a little bit. Yeah. He's a rookie trying to... Doesn't at least more so from that standpoint. It seems like he's coaching Keegan harder than anybody else at this. I would definitely say last year it was Malik, but this year it feels like he's just riding Keegan until the message gets through.
Yeah. And look, we have to trust that Mike Brown understands his team more than us. And by the way, that text, we said we love it when you say your name. That was from Vince Cellini. So thank you,
Vince.
For hopping in and being a part of the program. Yeah, I think Mike Brown believes it because there's no reason for them to believe that they were going to take a step back unless we thought, as I mentioned before and alluded to, that this season was a flash in the pan or last season was a flash in the pan, which I don't want to believe. Six games in, I don't believe that. But I do believe that some things may not be repeatable, right? I do believe that it's possible for Keegan Murray to take a step back when we're all talking about him taking a step forward. I do believe that, is it possible that Sabonis without De'Aaron, when hopefully he's not without De'Aaron too often, but without De'Aaron is...
A different guy.
Just a completely different guy. And by the way, we have a personal text from my guy. And I'm going to say, I don't know if he wants me to say his full name, but my guy Tyler, friend of the show. And he texts me. And this one's coming at you because he's the same person who loved that big man conversation we had last week and loved when Chris almost walked out of the studio because Sabonis was ranked number 9.
Yes.
So you are hearing it now.
I still stand by it.
You're hearing it now.
Okay.
He goes.
Easy.
Maybe that list of bigs was more accurate than Chris thought.
No, it's not. It's still not. I mean, I think the fact that we're not talking about the fact that, oh, yeah, you know, maybe this is actually just sometimes who Sabonis is. No, like, this isn't him. Like, okay. I'm not gonna judge him based off of these performances that aren't off of his best, you know?
But do you have to have an asterisk next to Sabonis without De'Aaron?
I don't think you do, but, I mean, I'm quickly having to change my tune on it. I mean, we've only seen him. Like, we can't forget that last year Sabonis and Fox both played an extreme amount of games. I think De'Aaron only missed 9 or 10 games last year. So this was not a situation or a circumstance in which they had to deal with a lot last year. I don't know. Like, it's still early in the season. Definitely Sabonis has not looked as near the quality that he was last year, but I'm not willing to bury him yet. Like, same way I'm not willing to bury Kevin Huerter, and I'm not going to bury Keegan Murray. I just think it's been an incredibly rough stretch of games. Mm-hmm. And, you know, until we're at a decent enough sample size, 10 to 15 games in, I'm not going to make any wholesale conclusions. Like, guys struggle. Julius Randle right now looks like he's one of the worst players in the NBA. I'm not going to take that as his entire season's going to go that bad. So, you know, if we're doing power ranking, sure, definitely Sabonis has moved further down in the power ranking, but do I believe that he is just a completely different player nowadays? No, I don't. I just think that things have not looked as seamlessly as what they did last year. And I think a lot of factors go into that. I think it doesn't help that people aren't making shots either, and that's not Sabonis' fault.
No. I mean, he is who he is, and that's he's not a point guard, but, you know, when you play inside, outside, a lot of people, a lot of things are based upon whether shots go in or not, right? Sure. And you look at a certain point guard and you think, wow, that point guard's really good based on how they play. Those passes can look just as good, but if the guys outside are clanking,
right,
they don't look as good. So sure, I think that's a big part of it as well. Got to get to a break. When we get back, more Niners, more Kings. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports. Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
We are back. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. We're at 45% of this blame pie.
Okay.
And we're going to finish it one way or the other.
Okay.
And I already convinced Chris that we're only going to do one pie. He can have a separate pie without the 5% for De'Aaron Fox. Came in from the 916 from Vince. So we get all that. But we are going to keep this thing going. Nate, why don't we haven't heard from Nate today yet, even though we're serving him a sports update. We're at 45%, 20% of the pie. For those just now listening, Stiles and Watkins take you up to 2 p.m. For those listening, this is basically where checking in on the Kings, right? The struggles, not specifically last night in particular, but just where the Kings are as a whole. Blame pie. So we have 20% for Mike Brown, 20%. Well, I guess we 20% for the Rockets. So I think that still fits.
Is this only people, or could this be things
anything?
Like
anything?
No, we have the Rockets, and we have a very interesting one at 5% for De'Aaron Fox.
I don't know if there's some superstition you have, Nate. Maybe you want to throw 2% on. You know, you didn't throw salt over your shoulder or something.
Right. So we're at 45%. We're trying to fill out this pie, Nate. Give us a percentage on who we're missing.
I mean, like 3-point shooting is really where my mind goes, because you have Herter kind of starting off, I don't know about hot, but normal for him last year, equivalent pre-playoffs. Yeah, that's it for me. 3-point shooting. I mean, they didn't get to the foul line enough. I know we were talking before the show. They had 4 free throws, but they made them all. They shot 100% in the first half. They had 4 free throws. They went 4 for 4. I think a big 10% goes to 3-point shooting, and then maybe
at least,
yeah,
at least
maybe a 5 to 10 goes to not getting to the line enough.
Okay,
I like both of those.
Is that too much though?
No, I like that.
It might be too little, if anything.
Okay,
15% 3-point shooting.
I think Mike Brown was 20%.
Brown was 20%.
I think that's too much. I think that's way too much.
I don't think it's his fault. I really don't think it's his fault. Like he did an hour long film session on Sunday.
We can drop it down.
I think you can't. It can't just be Mike Brown. It has to be coaching staff. And I think you put coaching staff at 5%.
Yeah.
Is that okay? That's too little. So we should be in the middle at 10 then?
Yes.
How about that?
I feel like I'm on Shark Tank.
Should we do coaching staff or just Mike Brown?
Why not? Why not share the pie? Share the pie.
You all
everybody.
Can get this L.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Jordy,
Luke, Laux,
Doug. I love you, but you know.
Monty, throw Monty in there.
Yeah, Monty. Monty even might get his own 5%.
I don't know if you guys heard about Monty, but
I got some work to do. I'm gonna head back upstairs.
I would love it. I would love
and
it.
Stay up there.
You know. Yeah.
stay up there. We have 45%. We're at 50% now.
Listen, no one told me we're gonna do math today.
I know.
We're at 50% even.
Can we give Klay Thompson 10%? For hitting that shot, he didn't have to do that.
I was thinking about that.
Do we feel a little bit better that result goes differently?
Much better.
If this is only a 2-game losing streak.
We're going 5% to Klay.
We can go 5% Klay. I'll gladly give some blame pie to
We're at 55%
okay,
now.
I think we got to hit Domas with he's our number two guy. We had our
15,
guy. It wasn't Ken who called in. Who was our first caller today that really laid into Domas?
It might have been Greg.
TC?
TC laid into Domas. Yeah. I think Domas deserves at least 10% of the blame.
Yeah. That's fair.
He's the number two. He's our all pro guy on
very
the court.
Fair. We gave De'Aaron Fox 5?
Yeah.
Give Domas 15.
15?
Yeah. Give him 15.
He can get 15.
Yeah. He gets a good percentage.
Okay.
You can't
so
do that.
What's De'Aaron being blamed for? Just for
that's
not
what
being
I'm
there?
Curious about.
Yeah.
Just for,
like,
for
it's
being
not his
rallying
fault.
The troops. You got to rally.
Okay.
You got to galvanize the troops. Amid Rock wants 1% to Texas barbecue.
Ooh, for sure.
I think
that's got to play
that
some.
Checks out.
You're telling me nobody had Texas barbecue this
I
entire
think that
weekend?
Checks out.
There's definitely at least a 1% chance that, like,
a little sluggish,
slowed
somebody
down.
Too much,
too much dip on the chip for
too
sure.
Too much ribs.
Yeah.
Could
right.
also have to do with why James Harden loves Houston so much.
Okay.
Could
well,
be.
Well, here's another 5% thing.
5% James Harden.
Uh-huh. I don't know if our guy Kyle Draper is going to be in studio today, but I want to say that I was not a fan of the excuse of, listen, the Kings had a busy weekend, okay? De'Aaron Fox had his jersey retired on Saturday, and then they
He's
had shoot-arounds on Sunday morning. Could you imagine how tired, or what
Can't
was it,
that.
Friday night and then Saturday morning? Could you imagine how tired they are? It's like, y'all, the fact that they went to the jersey retirement is actually a positive.
Right, because they could have been down these
streets. They could have been doing James Harden activities, so...
Draper will be here today. I just got a text from him. I had to check in with him, so you can confront him.
Get the smoke ready. Get the smoke ready. So after Sabonis, we are at an even 70%. We need 30 more percent.
Wow.
We're giving 1% to Texas barbecue.
Sure. Sure.
That throws off the math. We'll wait for it at
the
end.
Bit.
Yeah.
I need even numbers here, even in fives.
Davion Mitchell's offense.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, through these two games, it's been really, really bad. Let me see.
I think we might need to bump up 3-point shooting.
I feel like
we
might need to bump up a lot of things, or else we're just going to be throwing strays around all over the place.
We're going 25% 3-point shooting.
How about Joe? Shout out Joe, who's an active listener. Harrison Barnes deserves at least 10%.
Harrison,
because he came out with 3 points yesterday.
That's
and again,
out of
like
control.
Veteran leadership. He's like you could say, yeah, JaVale's the oldest guy on the team, the most veteran guy on the team. But Harrison's A, been here the longest, and B, he just got a new contract, and C, he is still the veteran of the guys playing, especially in that starting unit.
I agree.
You got to at some point be selfish and make your imprint known.
JaVale, I want to point out he does not deserve to be in this blame pie. I don't think. I've been a fan of JaVale so far.
No.
I think he fits perfect. His rebounding, his tips, all that stuff have been really important. Obviously the alley-oops, but so what are we at right now? 80?
So once we bump 3-point shooting up to 25%, we're now at 80. So if we're giving who else, and that just includes everybody.
Yeah.
Right? So we need 20 more percent.
It's maybe Duarte deserves a little bit. He's been a little underwhelming, playing a little hero
so
ball.
You can just say bench, though.
But
you just say bench. But it's hard to blame
the
bench. Right. Vizenko, I'm not going to give Vizenko anything.
I think Sasha, if anybody on the bench, has been most disappointing, but it's not on him.
Right, based on our expectations. I would say defense can get 10%.
Can we just put injuries 10% in general? It doesn't have to be De'Aaron specific, but like Trey Lyles also being out doesn't help. It's not making the difference.
10
in
is too much.
40%.
No, I'm saying 10 for defense.
Oh, yeah. For injury, 10 is too much.
Can we say 5 then? 5, 3.
It's up to Allen.
2.
I am the pie
4.
Maker.
Can it be 4% to round out that Texas barbecue?
Sure.
1%?
Okay. So we have 1%.
Sure. You got a deal.
There we go. I knew I could squeeze
Done.
It in. There we go.
Texas BBQ, 1%.
1% for sure.
And 4% was?
Injuries. Just the injury woes.
Injuries.
Yeah.
So
you know,
that
I mean,
leaves
that is,
us.
5% left or 10?
We have now 5% left.
Okay.
Can we give it to...
The fan, the home crowd.
I was going to say just
wow.
The kingdom in general for having apparently too high of this. How about this? 5% for Kings Nation actually wanting good things.
Oh,
it's kind of our fault.
Yeah, we
it's
shouldn't have
of,
gotten expectations.
Yeah, that's
up.
On us. That's
yep,
on us.
5% beam regime.
Yep.
Oh, man. Yep. Yeah, yep. No.
That's on
a
us.
Personal
why
attack
would
on
we
ourselves.
Think that we deserve nice things?
We don't.
Like, of course. Like, what about the history of this team makes us think that things are gonna go our way or in a way that we expected? That's on us.
Our guy Joe Harrison Barnes needs at least 10%. Yeah. He came out with 3 points yesterday. Come on. Cody underscore E. Did we give some pie to the foul trouble everybody was in?
Oh, that's a good one.
Foul trouble
is, oh man. And that's been a recurring issue from last
season. Now
we
got to take pie away.
Yeah.
We got to take 20%. That Rockets was at 20. So we'll take.
We can give them 10.
They
played
10%.
Yeah.
Foul trouble.
Yeah. Foul trouble is a real issue with this team. And
really
I think
bad.
It's because they get tired because they're trying, like, this was mentioned in the broadcast that they're playing so hard on defense. They're not necessarily playing great defense, they're just putting so much effort in. Maybe not in the right way, and you get tired and you foul.
Let me see.
Wow, this is where we're at. This is where we're at, guys. Scott Schendel.
Shout out, Scott.
Should have signed Dylan Brooks instead of Harrison Barnes.
Ouch.
Absolutely not.
That's where we're at now.
Absolutely.
Ouch.
That's not where I'm at.
That's where we're at. We're at hashtag get fire Brown Mike out of town.
Too early.
That's crazy.
Hashtag Brooks over Barnes. That's where we're at.
I will say the Kings are 23rd right now in fouls per game. So they are definitely fouling more than
more than most.
23rd meaning
23rd most. 23rd.
If you were number one, you
barely
have
the least.
Foul.
Yeah.
4, 5, 6, 7. They are 8th place. Right
okay,
now.
Let's read off the pie. It's
uh-oh.
Time before we get
it's
to
pie
a break.
Pie time. Let's put
pie
it on
time.
The window seal.
Eight pie.
We got it. 10% to Mike Brown and the coaching staff. 10% to the Houston Rockets, your future in-season tournament champion. 5% to De'Aaron Fox, because why not? 25% to three-point shooting. 5% to Klay Thompson.
Yeah,
you should have bricked that like you did all the other shots that game.
Really should have.
15% to Sabonis. Stop being soft.
Yeah, that feels fair. That really feels fair.
10% to the defense, which weirdly feels like it needs more.
Yeah.
1% to Texas Barbecue. Shout out Tri-Tip and Brisket.
Yeah.
It's Brisket over there, no Tri-Tip.
No Tri-Tip. Yeah. And when you watch grilling shows, right?
Or
they
Triple
always
D or something.
They always stick their nose up when California talks about Tri-Tip.
They are different.
They are different, but they say, "Oh, that's not real barbecue." Whatever, it tastes good. That's what I know.
It really does.
1% Texas Barbecue, 4% to injuries, 5% to the Beam Regime. That is us. And 10% to foul trouble, making 100% of your blame pie. 916 with a late ad on the text line. Again, if you want to be a part of the conversation, 916-339-1140. 916, 5% to losing 50-50 balls. How about heart?
Yeah.
How about heart? Can we get extra pie?
Yeah.
This is the crumble on top of the Dutch apple pie. That's the heart.
I think
you're missing the heart. You need the
it's
heart.
It's like the cherry on top.
The cherry on top.
Well, the whipped cream has to be. Let's just throw Robert Ory and Tim Donahue in there.
Okay, here we go.
Now you're just saying bad words.
Styles and Watkins, we'll be right back. Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
We are back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Having some pie, having some bagels. Chris, very nice of Chris Watkins to bring bagels in.
You know.
Which were very good.
You always talk about Tuesdays being bad, so I tried to
elevate
it a little.
So Chris went with jalapeno salsa.
Yep.
Schmear.
Yep.
And what was the other one?
I believe they are both.
Yeah, they are both.
They're both.
One was supposed to be the original because I know, not everyone is a fan of flavor.
Sure. I went with what I got.
It's a fan of flavor.
No, it's not that. I like. So it's very funny because I found randomly that my bagel taste is actually not the norm because I'm a sweet bagel guy. Give me a cinnamon raisin.
Oh, for sure.
Give me a cinnamon sugar bagel with normal chip.
There's a chocolate one in
there. There's a chocolate one, but you get chocolate with jalapeno?
Nah, you just get that dry. What did you want me to bring?
Chocolate bagel with jalapeno schmear
that's
is
not
basically
happening.
Watching
no, that's not
the game last night.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's the same type of combination.
Yeah, for sure. Combination. Yeah, absolutely. It's Like, I mean, I don't blame you on that, but, like, what was I supposed to bring for the I just got the variety pack.
One was supposed to be normal.
One was supposed to be normal.
Right, and it would have checked out with the normal. That would have been fun.
I don't know. I feel like with the chocolate, you just got to kind of stay in that chocolate zone. Like, throw in a random schmear in there would just kind of...
No, you can go normal, I said. You go normal.
What would be normal?
Just original. The regular...
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, is that, original. But even that would have a flavor to it.
Nah, I think it would be fine.
Oh, it's good.
I don't know. I wouldn't say it goes with chocolate. Maybe that's where I'm
so
weird.
What, you're just supposed to eat it plain?
Yeah, or like have some peanut butter or something. I don't know. Like put something else.
It's not a Reese's Pieces.
I don't know what to say. Like, yeah. You know, you wanted a brown sugar cinnamon bagel. Sorry if I didn't know that, you know, you didn't want to just like, add on to the childishness of it. Yeah,
wow.
Exactly. You know?
Well, so now I'm a child for liking cinnamon.
Pretty much.
Bagels.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's just, it's childish. I wouldn't say you are Gambino? A child. I would just say, yeah, exactly. You're just, you know, living into your nature.
916. On the chat, or sorry, the text line, if the Kings had won both games with the Warriors, both very winnable, how would you divide your pie? I don't know what to do with that.
I don't even know. Yeah, like if the sky was orange.
That first game, I don't know if I would consider it as winnable. They brought it back close. The Kings were up early. The Warriors kind of got away in
that
third
quarter. How am I supposed to remember? That was all that time ago.
That was a long time ago.
That was like six losses ago.
The Warriors kind of blew it out in the third, yeah. And then De'Aaron tried to bring the Kings back. But
tried.
I wouldn't consider that a winnable game.
No.
I mean, they made it respectable,
yeah.
After they had kind of messed up, yeah. in the third. But that second game, if they win that game, yeah, I think we're looking at the Kings a little bit differently.
A little bit.
I just don't know what to do with that information because they didn't.
Yeah, they didn't,
they
and
didn't
it
win.
Wasn't close, and it. Yeah, I mean, I can't
well,
even
that game,
imagine
no, the
Klay what
that Thompson
world
game
would look
was.
Like. Yeah, I mean, yes, exactly.
Right.
That was close, but I mean, they weren't close to winning both of those games, and so I can't tell you how narratively it would have been different because there just would have been a lot more positives to lean back on. But it doesn't. It also wouldn't change the fact that what we just saw
right.
is what we just saw. Like,
yeah.
That's these two losses are so bad. It wouldn't have mattered if the Kings were 4-0. Is maybe that's what your question is on the text line, but
yes, it does.
These two, no, these
yes,
two losses are so bad that it's this is concerning.
You're
like you don't get
the, no. You're throwing those in the trash if you were 4-0.
You're throwing them in the trash, but it still doesn't mean that it's not something to be concerned about. Like I don't think that I think that we still would have said. Like, yes, it would have been easier to dismiss, but it wouldn't change the fact that these guys clearly need help without De'Aaron Fox. Like,
I think you're throwing it in the recycle.
Yes, instead of in the garbage.
Yeah, because like it sticks around, you know, it's going to stick with you for a while. It's going to come back to the zeitgeist later on down the road. And you're not going to forget. You blew those two games in Houston.
Yeah,
feels
right?
More like compost.
Well,
to me.
You know, and the one thing... You guys, I'm going to leave. No, I'm going to walk out of here.
That was a real teacher. You guys, come on.
Come on now.
You guys.
That's my bad.
No, this is the one thing that we haven't talked about, and normally somebody does it, is the whole, could this be good for the Kings?
Yeah.
We haven't
Mike Brown,
done that.
The coach.
We haven't done
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no.
Is it worth doing?
No, because it's frankly just, that would be us trying to, spin it like because this is not a positive. Like,
yeah.
Are there again? Yeah, I mean it's good that you reach rock bottom because it can only get better from here. But that's I wouldn't say that's a positive.
No, like, I
know,
wouldn't
yeah.
either.
Like of course it's good to face adversity, and if it teaches them an overall lesson of like how to get to the other side of it, like
yeah.
what that process looks like. Sure, I guess that's a silver lining, mm-hmm. but. I don't know if it needs to be flushed out enough to the point where we actually start to try and convince people of it. Because it's, I mean, frankly, I mean, yeah, I think everybody should be concerned. I don't think that the season's over. I don't think that this is some indication that the Kings are going to be a play-in team now this mm-hmm. year. But I definitely think that what we just saw was a very real thing. Like, I don't think that that's something we can just throw the tape away and say, ah, that's not us. Mm-hmm. Like, that was y'all for two games. And the more concerning thing is, like we talked about heading into yesterday's game, mm-hmm. they had time to think about this. Like,
yeah.
they had time to stew
in the city,
on that game.
In the same
in
city.
The city. They had all the pregame hype that you would ever want, all the pregame motivation you would want to go out and make a statement game, mm-hmm. and they still fell flat. So I don't know what else you need to kind of fuel yourself to have a good answer. Mm-hmm. But if that's not it, I guess the Kings are going to have to find some new fuel, which I guess is positive, mm-hmm. but no, I can't even try and imagine trying to spin this into something positive.
I mean, anybody can try, and that's kind of part of this. You can definitely attempt to do so, but I don't know who's buying it, yeah. Right? I think you're only as good as your last performance, and the only way you can start to spin this is in, and, you know, I've mentioned the whole flash in the pan thing. I don't think we have a conversation about last season being a flash in the pan until we have 10 more, we watch 10 more games and we see things that we did not see or did not want to see in those 10 games. So I'm not going flash in the pan yet, but they are on flash in the pan alert, I will say. They're definitely on alert.
For
916-339-1140 if you want to be a part of the conversation. They're definitely on alert. And if they don't get it together, I think more people will start to think, maybe Keegan just had a good year. Maybe Kevin, or maybe that team just had a good year. Because if you're missing De'Aaron Fox, we get it. But for you to fall off a cliff the way you did when De'Aaron Fox himself, I got to go there. We're still trying to see if De'Aaron's going to become a superstar.
Yeah.
De'Aaron is not a top 10 player in this league. So for you to fall off a cliff like that and you're missing a, you know, a top 15, top 20 player,
yeah,
believable. I get it. But a team like that, you're not there.
Mm-hmm.
You're not there. And I'm just playing back in my head when you and Whitey were there at the Golden One Center and you're speaking to the team and the whole vibe to be championship this, championship that. Where was that? Where was that mentality when you're out here getting embarrassed by the Rockets? Where was that?
I don't know. They left it at home. Because, the way they're playing is not competitive, and that's a thing that I think is the most frustrating. Is I think we could all live with not winning these games without De'Aaron Fox. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, I made this big moral victory speech on last week, but they're not even competing. Like they don't look like an NBA team. Like you said, it's the Globetrotters against the Washington Generals. Like they're not even putting up a fight, and that's what's alarming. Is it's one thing if you don't look like yourself. Of course you don't look like yourself. You don't have your best player. It's one thing if, you know, they're not hitting shots. Okay, that's one thing. But to just get completely embarrassed by a team that's frankly at best a middle of the road NBA team is incredibly concerning. And I think it's a very legitimate thing that needs to be fixed. And I don't know where that they start to fix it, but clearly, again, I really think it's an opportunity for them to start completely clean, because they need to understand that just because you had success last year does not mean you will have success this year. It's a brand new season, brand new results, and nobody's going to feel bad for you either. So they have to pull themselves out of this, and they have to find their own energy, which is something that was a struggle for them last year a lot of the time at home. They said that, you know, the crowd would fuel them, but I think this is all on them. This is all on their shoulders. So it's going to be on them to make this better.
And before you even start to sleep on the Blazers are, you know, they're sitting right here at, let's see here, 3-4.
Scrappy.
Right? So they're 3-4.
And the Kings.
What? I'm clicking here. I'm just double checking here. Here you go. They played they did the same thing. So they did the same back-to-back against the Grizzlies for two games. So, you know, they're in it too. And if you think that they're going to walk in here and not want to get a W, you're going to be mistaken.
I'm looking right now too. Portland Trailblazers average the fewest points per game in the NBA right now. So if the Kings can't compete or hang with a Portland Trailblazer team that's only averaging 104 points per game, then I don't know what to tell you.
Right. And again,
I don't know what to tell you.
It's rock bottom until there's another bottom. So hopefully the Kings don't get there. Got to get to a break. When we get back, are the Kings simply in a slump or something more? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.